Well, good morning. Money cannot buy happiness, but it can buy donuts, which is kind of the same thing. Today here at Central, we're going to have our very first ever Donut Diner Sunday, like Brian was just talking about. What a great place this is. I'm looking forward to it, not just because donuts are okay and a pretty well-rounded breakfast, but it also means that different generations of people are going to make an effort to be together today and to remind one another that we have a lot to learn from each other and a lot to appreciate about each other. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, of all the things that we're going to use this morning to help us do that, we're going to use donuts. Why not? Donuts are a national icon. In the United States, every year, we crank out about 15 billion donuts. I'm doing my part to help with that. There are two, not just one, but two National Donut Days on the calendar, November 5th and the first Friday in June. A few years ago, we set up to take snacks to Rockford Police Department just to show our appreciation to them. And to avoid the stereotyping, we thought, all right, let's use bagels. So we took bagels to the Rockford Police Department, and they said to us, oh, thank you, but next time, donuts. There are several important lessons that you can learn from a donut. Everyone has a God-shaped hole in the middle that only God can fill. Even a day-old donut still has value. Like people, your age doesn't matter. You still have value. Everyone who picks up a donut shouldn't just look at what's not there. They should look at what is there and appreciate that. Instead of worrying about what you don't have. A box of donuts. There's a picture of one. A box of donuts can remind us that there's variety, that God made people in variety, and we can appreciate that. Amen? And we should appreciate that. Give me a second. Also, coffee and donuts, by the way. Coffee and donuts help each other be better. And guess what? We're supposed to help each other be better too, aren't we? We do a lot better together than we do just on our own. There's all kinds of great lessons to learn from donuts. And those are all examples of how something familiar can be taken and then used to teach an important spiritual truth. That's exactly what Jesus did in the stories that we call parables. Parables are stories that Jesus used about everyday kinds of things to help make truth sticky. By that, I mean not just sticky like donut sticky, but sticky so that we'll remember it. That's what parables were all for. Jesus would take those ordinary things and use them to help people understand. He'd tell stories about kings, shepherds, servants, sons, sojourners, business owners, builders, bosses, bridges, brides, fathers, farmers, and fishermen. He talked about wheat, weeds, weddings, parties, pearls, mustard seeds, yeast, grapes, treasure, sheep, goats, coins, fish, and feasts. Things that people were familiar with, and he'd use them to teach important things. Jesus could tell a story about how there was this terrible, horrible person. And in the middle of the story, the Pharisees who were standing listening to it would go, hey, wait a second, he's talking about me. Exactly. He'd slip the truth in with a parable. Mark chapter 4. By the way, we're going to be in the book of Mark today, so if you'd like to get your Bibles open to that, open up to Mark chapter 4. Mark 4:34 says, during that time as Jesus was speaking, he did not speak to them without a parable. He told stories. Today we look at a parable from Jesus, not just any parable, but it's a parable about all of his parables. And if you're willing to hear it, I would like you to see that God's word can be put to work in your life if you want to. That's what we're going to hear today. That's what we're going to walk out with when we go eat donuts today. Mark 4 starts out with Jesus teaching in parables. After spending time teaching, it says this in verse 10. Then when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of heaven. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Turns out parables are a really important part of the teaching of Jesus. Skip down to verse 33. It says there, "With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything." I hope this morning that when you hear the parables of Jesus, that you like them. I hope that you appreciate them. I hope that you want to pursue them. I hope that you want to apply them to your life. You see, the way that we accept and understand the parables of Jesus tells a lot about our whole attitude toward Jesus. And there is one parable that Jesus told. One story that he told that was necessary for you to understand. He said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of them. Come back next week. We'll tell you which one it is. Now, that's what we're looking at today. Chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" We get a lot of help in this parable today because we don't have to break it down. Jesus does it for us. Jesus gives a detailed explanation of what it means. But we will need to see how it applies to us, so that's what I want to do. And by the time it's done, 3 points, perfect sermon, here it goes. There's going to be three things. Something that you can't do, something that you shouldn't do, and something that you must do. All right, watch for those as we go through. First of all, something that you can't do. The first time that Charlie Brown was made into a cartoon on TV in 1964, Charlie Brown Christmas special, the world was introduced to the voice not only of Charlie Brown, but the voice of Charlie Brown's teacher. Remember Charlie Brown's teacher? Her voice has been familiar to most of us, in fact. Womp, 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 womp. The moment I begin to explain something about the car engine to Carrie, she hears Charlie Brown's teacher. The moment that she begins to explain to me why a pair of certain shoes goes with a certain dress, I glaze over and I hear, womp, 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 Charlie Brown's teacher. And maybe it's not that we can't understand those things. Maybe it's that we just don't care to. But if we were to try and make the effort, we could begin to understand. Well, imagine if Jesus had this day in Mark 4 said to his first century audience, "The kingdom of heaven is like a computer programmer who was waiting to board a 747 at O'Hare, but the Wi-Fi was weak and so his laptop couldn't pick up the signal. The only way he could check his email was on his smartphone." And they would hear, womp, 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 womp. 2,000 years before Jesus was born, when God was giving the good news of the gospel before Jesus ever came, that's kind of what it must have sounded like to some of those people. They couldn't understand. They wanted to, but couldn't. Matthew gives us also the story that we're reading today. And Matthew says in chapter 13, 16, Jesus said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." You realize that means that People like Abraham and Jacob and Moses and David and Joshua, none of them really fully understood about Jesus. They never even heard the name of Jesus. They couldn't understand that he was coming to give them life by dying for them so that they could live forever. In other words, when they heard the prophecies about the Messiah from God, it sounded like womp, 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 womp. And for 3,000 years at least before Jesus was born, there's this group of people who couldn't understand. But once Jesus came, that changed. He was telling his group of people that day in Mark 4, you now can understand. And it's different for us today too. We cannot be like those people of the past, the ones who couldn't understand about Jesus. Because since that time, Jesus came, he lived, he died, he rose again, amen. That's all been recorded for us. We can read it, we can learn about it, we can learn it, we can make it part of our lives. We can't say that we can't understand. Oh, there's plenty about life in Jesus that you may not understand yet. Keaton Romanello has a lot to learn about growing up in Jesus. He has lots of things yet to learn. There are lots of things about life in Jesus he doesn't understand yet. That's how it's supposed to work. There are going to be things that we can't completely understand right now, and that's okay. We're still learning. But there is no way that any one of us sitting here this morning can say, I can't understand Jesus at all. We can't do that. Says here, blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. You see, that was something those people couldn't say. They couldn't say, well, I don't know who Jesus is. I don't know what Jesus is about. We can't either. Mark was making sure of this. Mark was making sure by writing his gospel that we would know that Jesus was the Son of Man who came to serve, not to be served, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Something you can't do is not understand anything about Jesus. All right, let's go on. There is something then that you shouldn't do. Mark chapter 4, and by the way, that gets a lot of people's attention. Something I shouldn't do? Yeah, let's see that. Mark 4, let's start reading in verse 1. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, some of the parables of Jesus that you read, you've got to sit down and try to think it through. Okay, this is this, and this is this, and I think this is how this works in my life, so I need to study up on this and figure it out. This parable, Jesus just does all that work for us. He explains it blow by blow. Look at verse 20. He said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. All right, need your help. Let's go through this. We learn from Matthew and Luke that the seed in this story, and Mark uses the word too, the seed in this story is the word. It's the word of God. It is the good news about Jesus Christ. It is the gospel message, the news of the kingdom. And in this parable, there is a person, a sower, a person who plants, who sows the word. And that could be anyone. No matter who does it, it's you putting everyday evangelism into work and planting a seed in your one person, all right? No matter who does it, the seed is the good seed every time. Sowing the seed is the same thing as sharing the good news about Jesus. Here's a question. Does the seed change? The seed doesn't change. In this story, it's a constant. God's word will be that way. But the soil does change, doesn't it? How many kinds of soil are there? How many kinds? Four kinds of soil, all right? On one soil, the seed doesn't have a chance. It's probably the path that the man or person planting the seeds is walking on. And as soon as it hits that, it can't get into the ground, and so the birds come and snatch it away. It's gone. And Jesus says this is a person who hears God's word, and it doesn't find its way in. And just like right now, as you are listening to God's word, the devil is trying to help it slip in one ear and out the other so that it will just be gone. There's another soil that's very similar. It's shallow, and the seeds get into it, and it sprouts up, but right away it dies. And that may be happening right now too. It might be that you're listening this morning. It may be that you're going, hey, I'm listening, and the wheels are turning. But as soon as you get to lunch today, or as soon as the alarm goes off tomorrow morning, it's gone. It didn't take root and grow. Jesus talks about a third kind of soil. It's deep enough, the seeds take root and they begin to grow and they produce a plant. It has time to do that. But down the road, thorns come up alongside it. There are challenges, you know, wrong teaching that you had for years that you were growing up. Teachers and professors that mock in the classroom what you have believed all your life. Friends who want to take you the other direction. Video reels that make you question what seemed so clear before you saw it. And it gets choked out. And then Jesus said there's this fourth kind of soil, the good soil. And the seed goes into it and it takes root and it grows up and it becomes strong and deep and it produces a plant that produces a crop. 30, 60, 100-fold, a good crop. All right? So out of four types of soil, how many of the soils were good soil? One. Four kinds of soil. One that was good. It produced fruit. It showed up in life, being constantly given over to God's plan for it. Here at Central, we call that being in. One out of four. You think the average yield would be better. Jesus is describing those that don't want to understand. And as he told this story, there were some in that crowd listening that day who were those poor soils. Some people simply weren't willing to listen to what Jesus was teaching. They heard stories, but that was it. They didn't take the next step and figure out, how can I take this truth, plug it into my life, and make it grow? They didn't go there. So how about you this morning? Right now, if you've got Mark open in your lap, you're looking at it. You see it. What you do with this story this morning tells a lot about your relationship to God. You should be trying to understand Jesus' message for your life. This is why Jesus said, if you have ears that are willing, listen. Can we have a moment of openness this morning? Is it possibly true that sometimes we don't real eagerly jump in to reading God's word because it says some things that we would really rather not hear. Kind of like not going out to the mailbox and getting the mail because you are afraid there will be a bill. Or not going to the doctor and having tests done because you're afraid he's going to tell you you need to do something. Sometimes we suspect that the story Jesus tells is going to invite us inside of the story. And it's going to tell us some truth that we are faced with and that we can't ignore. Parables have a way of doing that. That's one of the reasons that Jesus used them. So what Jesus says here tells me that it's possible to rub elbows with Jesus and still not want to follow him. Could it be possible that you would want to hang out with a church, that you would want to be part of a church and still not follow Jesus? It tells me that someone can sit and listen to the words of Jesus, maybe even for a long time, and still not have ears to hear what he is saying. Could it be that the very thing that Jesus is describing here is going on right now? 3 out of 4, where the word fell, didn't give it a chance to take root and grow and produce a crop. All right, let's recap. So far, 2 things not to do. Number 1, don't claim that you can't understand. That's just not possible. Amen? It's not possible. Not where we live. Not now. 2nd thing is, don't be like those who refuse to understand. That's something that you shouldn't do. But I want to sprint to the finish, all right? Here's the thing that we must do. Something that we must do. In private, Jesus' closest followers come to him. They are eager to know what it means. They're asking him about the parable because they want to know. They want to understand. That's the kind of attitude that Jesus says is the 4th soil. They knew it was important, so they asked. They wanted to understand. Did you ever have a teacher in school who said, or in Sunday school for that matter, who said, the only silly question is the one that you don't ask? That's true, mostly. But when it comes to God's word, let me tell you, there is far too much at stake to leave your questions unasked. There is far too much here that's important for you not to try to understand it. We have things like that all around us in life. My dad's, mom's and dad's friends, John and Connie Snyder, years ago, Dad told this story, were visiting Egypt. John was another preacher friend of my dad's, and he and his wife were there in Egypt, and somehow John, with his tour group, had met this sheik who lived there in Egypt, and they began having a conversation. Well, John didn't understand a word the guy was saying. It was some Arabic dialect. And he just stood there nodding and smiling for a few minutes while this guy talked to him, and he would nod and smile and he would talk. And after that went on for a while, John finally got someone from their tour group to come over and translate for him. And with the translator's help, John found out that this guy was offering to give him 10 camels for his wife. And that's a pretty good price. You'd think she would be flattered. You'd think she would appreciate him negotiating a good deal. I think she was more miffed at him for almost selling her. Well, some things, like accidentally selling your wife, what's being said, some things are too important not to understand. And I want to tell you that God's word is at the top of that list. This can't be something that we just relegate to that part of our lives that, well, it would have been nice for me to get it, but I don't. Listen to a father's advice. Not this father's, but listen to a father's advice when it comes to learning from God's word. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. Listen to these words. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Hey, tomorrow morning, is that you? Do you receive it? Do you store it up inside of you? Are you getting up in the morning, making your ear attentive to the Word of God, or are you running to your email and Facebook posts? Are you inclining your heart to understanding, running through tweets that don't have wisdom or understanding? Are you calling out for insight in life? Are you crying aloud to God for understanding, or are you satisfied with just understanding what you understood a year ago? Are you digging for it like you would dig for silver? Are you after it like you would go for a hidden treasure? Or are you content to leave it buried? Fourth grade boy is wrestling with his math homework, and he finally says, "I don't understand this. I give up." Now, if his dad loves him and hears that, what does that dad do for his frustrated son? Well, he says, "Well, son, obviously this is tough. So, you know, if that's tough for you, you don't have to do that." Coach Romanello, if somebody looks at you and says, "I don't want to run another lap, coach," what do you say? "Well, I know this is tough, so you just take a break." Somehow I'm not thinking that's how it works. Jesus promised in the Sermon on the Mount that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Which person who is honestly seeking truth has Jesus ever turned away? Oh, he turned away the self-righteous. He turned away the hypocrites. He turned away the judgmental. But the people who wanted to understand his word, he welcomed and filled. So let me tell another parable this morning. A sower went out to sow in Rockford, Illinois. He had been to everyday evangelism class. He had one person on his list that he was praying for. Some of the seed, that good word, fell along the path. The birds came and snatched it away. Some fell on rocky soil, and by the heat of next week, the sprouts that had come up withered. Some fell among the thorns. Time passed, and as it grew, the thorns grew also, and they began to choke out the word. Some of it fell on good soil. How will the story end? Well, only you can answer that about you right now, because right now the seed has hit the soil. And what kind of soil you are when it comes to the Word of God is your choice. Will it be taken up as quickly as it landed? Does it go in one ear and out the other? Or will it start to grow but stay so shallow that immediately it just dies down? Will it grow up and start doing things, but then all the pressures from around choke it all out? Or will it grow? Will it thrive? And will it produce fruit 30, 60, 100-fold in your life so that more can be planted and more can grow? Let me tell you, God's word can be put to work in your life if you'll let it be. And this morning, we hope that that's what you'll allow it to do, to take root and to grow like he wants it to do. So maybe this morning, that's what you need to be doing. You need to be examining yourself and going, all right, what am I going to do? What do I do when I hear God's word? Maybe you need to be looking at yourself as a sower and saying, how am I doing at getting God's word where it needs to go so that it can produce in people's lives? We've got things to do, don't we? This morning we're asking you a question, going to keep asking it all year. Are you in? Is your life totally given over to Jesus and his purposes for you? Are you in? Some of you are going, you bet I'm in. You bet your Krispy Kreme, I'm in. And this morning I'm going to grow and keep growing. And I'm encouraged to do that by these words from Jesus. I hope that's you. Maybe you're going, no, I haven't gotten in yet. I'm just kind of walking the line, waiting to see if there's a better offer. There's not. And you need this morning to stop walking a line and step across and get in. You need to respond to Jesus. And we have a chance for you to do that. We got to watch this morning as Keaton was baptized. Wasn't that wonderful? Here's this young man who's growing up, hearing God's word. Part of it he's hearing here at Central with good people that are teaching him. And part of it he's getting at home. And that's all coming together in his life. And now here he stands in front of you and says he wants Jesus to be his Lord and Savior. We want to encourage you to do that today. All right, let's stand up. We're going to have a closing song today and give our stage crew a chance to get up there and get ready for that. If that's you this morning, you need to step forward and say, I'm ready to become a follower of Christ. I'm going to be right down here in the front. And while we're doing this song today, I'd like you to come down here, okay, when we're singing that. If you need just someone to pray for you and to encourage you, then this is a good time to step down here to the front. This is a safe place to do that. I can't think of a better place that I would rather be in front of a group of people I'd rather be in front of than this group right here, right now, saying, hey, I could use some encouragement. Would you help me? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this day that we have your word unchanging and sure. Thank you for the good seed, the seed which, when implanted in our souls, is able to save us. Father, help us to take to heart the words of Jesus today that encourage us to be good soil, soil that lets that word take root in our lives, that allows it to grow, to nurture it, that it will produce fruit that will honor you. Father, I pray today that you would help us to consider our relationship with you, each one of us, whether we should be thoroughly sowing the word where it needs to be heard, or whether today it means hearing that word and accepting it for the very first time. Father, help us now to honor you with our choices. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.